following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Pulse. Yay, this is our second episode on The Pulse. It's me, Faye, and YOLO, and... oh, that woman's back again.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, who let her in my house? Oh, wait, I married her. I invited her to my house. She follows me around for years. Oh.
Yeah, it's horrible. The and torture is his.
We have a family member in heat. No, it's not my wife. Get your minds out of the gutter. My cat, so you might hear her in this little cast at some point. But anyways, like I said, I'm Faye. We got Ayo or Ayano with us and Mr. YOLO. So Mr. YOLO, I know how the Mrs. Faye is. How have you been? What have you been doing this week?
Well, in gaming wise, I've been playing some wild. I'm about to say something totally different. I'm playing World of Warcraft. I almost said that. No, I'm playing World of Warcraft. I've been trying to level my first pet to 25, and it's been like a very, very, very long grind. I'm 24 at the moment. I'm getting there. I'm trying my best to finally get one pet to 25.
Well, you do know you have to get 3 of the 25 to officially get your special thing on your garrison to open up, right?
Well, I have a few 20s right now. What I'm going to do when I get the one pet to 25, I'm going to power level my lower level pets.
Well, there you go. That sounds like... oh, there you go. The cat's making her statement. So, let's see. Since the wife is entertaining the cat at the current moment, oh dear, she sounds like it's devil cats coming out. I'll let you know what I've been doing my week. Well, once again, I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft as well, and I've been putting quite a lot of time in with Hearthstone. I'm still supposed to have a tournament before the end of this month coming up, so I've been like playing around with all my decks, trying to see what's going to work for me, see what I can master, see if somebody kicks my warlock or something out as my ban deck, then I want to make sure that I got all my other decks ready to go. So I've been doing a lot of that. I've just been playing a lot of Hearthstone, playing a lot of WoW. Haven't played a whole lot of anything else. I did get a chance to pop back in the Secret World on occasion just to see what new things are going on in there. But that's been about it. So now that the demon cat's out of the room, Miss Ayo, Miss Faye, Miss Ayana, what have you been doing this week in game?
Primarily I've been focusing on leveling up my followers and getting them geared. I find a lot of joy in just working in World of Warcraft and just working with my follow requests, particularly because I have serious time restraints. So it gives me the opportunity to connect with the game without feeling like I have to grind or farm or do anything else. I can, you know, take care of that in a few minutes a day, and I still get to play a little bit, which is nice. When I do have a little more time, I've been leveling my second character, my shaman, she's 90 now, so she's just getting ready to start the Draenor quests. I'm really excited about that, and that's kind of what I've had time for this week.
Well, that sounds like fun. So, let's do a little bit of prediction-ish type stuff, and, what do you predict that when I ask you on the next episode, what have you done this week, what do you think you're going to get done?
Hopefully I'm going to tell you that my second character's, level 100 and that my main tune has a level 3, well, she has a level 3 garrison. Maybe some more buildings and upgraded. Maybe I'll even get a chance to do some more PvPing and maybe learn to love it. I don't know.
Well, that's good.
That's a lot in a week.
Because I've pretty much, also this week I've taken my PvP set to every piece I have is at least 620, which if anyone knows about how PvP works, and we kind of discussed this a little bit last week, You know, it starts out 620 for PvE, but it's like 660 for when you walk into PvP. And then, of course, I do have a 660 PvE piece that turns into like 695 or something like that when I walk in the PvP. Yeah. But it's a really, really nice, especially, I mean, if you can tolerate PvP, it's definitely the quickest way to get geared up for PvE. And then once you get in PvE, you can get those pieces, upgrade those pieces, and you'll be just set. As far as my predictions, hopefully to add a couple more 660 pieces, craft a 640 PvE piece, play some more Hearthstone, hopefully actually rank up a little bit further. Right now I'm sitting at 19 again, and I'm hoping to get back. The furthest I've ever went was 12. I'd like to see the 10s, the top 10, and then maybe eventually get the legendary. And also hopefully I'll have that tournament this week, and I'll have more things to discuss. So YOLO, predictions for how your week's gonna go.
I'm gonna try to actually queue up for a high mole raid, and wish me luck. I'm gonna try to tank it. Last week I forgot to mention in my intro is that I actually did the last day of a molten core and was able to attain my amount and my I think 340 helm. I had a good run, one wipe, but everything else went smoothly in that run. And hopefully I'll do some high mole, and my follower is finally locked up 615 missions. So I'm hopefully get some more gear from my followers doing their missions.
Your followers just hit 615.
All of them?
No, I meant what? The missions, right? To get the 615 pieces?
Yeah, I got like at least four followers that got 615 gear, but I finally unlocked the missions, and I also have a scavenger yard, and I'm telling you, anybody that has a garrison should put one on there, because I'm actually making a lot of money from the junk that I'm getting out of the crates from doing the missions.
I know, I love it. I have one too, and it's not just junk that you get out of the crates. I've gotten armor pieces and weapon pieces for my followers, and every now and then I'll get something, you know, some green piece that sells for, you know, 15, 20 gold just for the one piece. So I agree with you. If you like running follower missions, you definitely need to have a salvage yard in your garrison.
I don't. I don't have that, but I will tell you that I make a crap ton of money having my little war mill and running the PvP, because every time that I turn in one of those bones from the dead players, I get, let's see, gear pieces, I get honor marks, I get sometimes conquest marks, and on average 100 gold per turn in given to me, as well as I definitely, I'm running the stables right now, because I want to get all these mounts, and I'm on the final quest line to get 5 mounts. I will be working on the 6th mount, and then you get the special mount for getting all 6 mounts, and then you run all 6 mounts to get a 7th mount. Yes.
It just keeps going.
It keeps going. You can have up to 8 mounts, and then when you're done with the stables, you have the choice of going to level 3, which gives you A, you can not get knocked off of a mount while running around, and B, it gives you 20% more speed in the Draenor zones, or I could just get rid of it and then start with the salvage yard, just because I really just did it to get the pets. I mean, the mounts more than anything else, so I might get the salvage yard instead of that. That's the one nice thing about garrisons, is once you've done all the special stuff that they do, you can replace them with something else and give them all their own shot, as well as you can get achievements for doing that. And if you want to be a completionist with your garrisons, you want to get rid of some stuff, which you could put back later. I'm not quite sure if they go back to the same stats that they were before. I think they start with level 1 again. But that is also very convenient. YOLO, other than your salvage yard, what's your other favorite garrison building?
I like my you know, something to be honest with you, it's really just their scavenger yard. Not really much else. What's the blacksmith? The blacksmith place is kind of cool as well, because I got a 630 gear I created out of there, and I have a whole bunch of items to make some more, but it's like totally it doesn't do does nothing for me. The only place I like on my garrison is the scavenger yard. Everything else is kind of meh. I have a stable, but I got kind of tired of doing a daily quest that pop up every time. I'll fly away to a zone and I come back, and then there's another quest popping up for the same mission, and it kind of got me bored, so I haven't done it in like a couple of days.
Wow, bored. I love those missions. They not only do they keep coming back, every time you leave your garrison, you come back, and it's usually for the next set of people you have to kill, which there's like a total of 10 of them. You get 30 gold per turn in. I mean, it's an amazing way to get a lot of money. I mean, I just love my stables. But, Miss Ayana, who's giggling in the
I
background, other than
am.
your salvage yard, do you have any other ones you love to do on your property, since you did pick those things you put on your property for a reason.
I did. So my character is an Irby Alki. I like to pick flowers and make potions, and so I also put in my little herb garden, and I have an alchemist on staff, although I really don't use him very much. I haven't had a lot of time to concentrate on my own personal profession, so I've been gathering mats. I have lots and lots of flowers, and I like the fact that I don't have to go out in the world and really farm a lot in order to gather up mats and create a nice little storage, because eventually I'm going to want to level my alchemy. But I also like the fact that the way the garrison's developed now is it gives you an opportunity to explore all of the different professions that you may not have on your character. So my character has always been an herbalist and an alchemist. She's never done mining, but I find that one of my favorite things to do is go into my garrison's mine and, spend a few minutes every day at gathering ore. I never thought that would be something I'd enjoy, but I guess it's kind of the same mechanics as picking flowers. So to me, it's kind of fun. So I'd have to say, I guess my second favorite has got to be my mine.
Wow, your mine. I have a level 3 mine, and it takes me like 10 minutes to mine it, even drinking coffee and sharpening my sticks to poke the rock even
You mean
faster.
using the little
Yes, the little thingy that you get, the
the
pickaxe,
pickaxe
mining
thingies they give
pickaxe,
you?
speedy up.
We're real
No,
technical on this podcast, as you
my,
can see.
yeah, exactly. So technical that I'm like, I don't care what it's called because it's boring. And I now
Well
have to
then.
sell my mining stuff for money because my regents tab in my bank is overflowing with flowers and ore and mines and all this stuff that I can't even use for most of my stuff. My herbing I use for, making clothing and whatnot, but so far I haven't found much use for my stone. Other than the fact that my son has asked me for all my stone for his person, but now, I do have a Death Knight, and he does his little blacksmithing stuff and his mining. So when he comes up, I'll have all this stuff waiting for him to give him. So he'll definitely be able to make some gear for himself or whatnot, maybe make some money, profit, and everything else. But, oh, did you have something else to say?
No, I was just actually going to ask you. So, I know that our podcast has a theme tonight. Like, we have a topic to discuss. What is it?
The topic of the night is free to play fiction, or what did I say?
Or
Look at that.
future.
Yes, fiction or future. See, look how she puts me on. See?
So what you're asking is, do we believe free-to-play games are going to go by the wayside, or are they the way that gaming is going to go?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Because the reason I picked this topic is about a year ago, the whole pit and parcel of MMOs in general, I'm going to try and keep this to MMOs because there's a lot of free-to-play games, not just MMOs. But in the sphere of MMOs, about a year ago, it looked like everything that was an MMO except for World of Warcraft was going to go free-to-play, and that was going to be our future. Now, WildStar came out, it was not free-to-play. WoW stayed free-to-play. Secret World went freemium, so I'm gonna have to kind of define a little bit of terms here.
Yeah, because I have no idea what that means.
Free to play is literally what you think it would be. It's you can go out, you can download a game, You can create a character. I'm going to keep with MMOs. You can create a character. You can go out. You can quest. And you can level up without any restrictions. There are a point, and I'll get to them when I get done describing what freemium is. Freemium means that you can purchase it out of the box. You put it into your system, and then it starts free to play. You can level, you can create your
character. You buy the game, but there's no ongoing maintenance.
There's no ongoing maintenance, ongoing price. Now, also, under that umbrella of freemium, though, is like the Star Wars model. Is like kind of how the model, even with Secret World, it's a model where you, initially, you had to buy Star Wars. We all did. We both had a copy in this house. You had to buy it. You paid your monthly, and then it went free to play with a freemium option, which means if you bought the game and you decided to continue subbing to the game, it would give you extra bonuses that normal free-to-play players would not get.
Okay.
But when you're talking straight free-to-play games, generally you're talking there's a cash shop. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily game-breaking in most cases. Most cases it's just for cosmetic items, it's for mounts, it's for pets. And that's the way they make their money in the free-to-play sphere. And then, of course, you have your subs, where you get everything, like World of Warcraft. Right now, World of Warcraft's already looking into adjusting their models. They did some data mining, and they said that there's a setup in the data mining for WoW to go free-to-play. Mm-hmm. Now, what they're already looking at doing with the next update is they're looking at putting a option where you can buy time, sell it on the auction house for gold, and then somebody who has the time can pay with their gold for their subscription. So if they play for whatever the set price is, they did this with WildStar, where it was the same exact setup.
So wait, let me get this right.
Yes.
So somebody who has money.
Yes.
Can buy time from Blizzard.
Yes.
And then they can take their time.
Yes.
And not apply it to their own subscription, but sell it on the auction house.
Yes.
To a player who doesn't have real world money, but has a lot of farming time, on their time and can gather the gold to buy the
That's
time.
That's correct. That's the model that WildStar was using
mm-hmm.
for the longest time, where it was really dirt cheap to pay for the sub if you had the time, versus paying, you know, $14.99 average sub fee. You could go out, you could grind up all this money, buy it on the auction house, basically their auction house, and then you would get to play the game. And that's how WoW's starting to go. But it's not just you don't necessarily pay for your own sub. You can buy a whole sub time, $14.99, and just sell that. So you're still paying for yours. And you can buy another one because, say, you're paying for yours, but you don't have time, and you need some gold. So you then pay for a separate subscription, put it on the auction house, then they buy it, then you get the gold, and you continue on that way.
I just don't understand why they haven't considered then just selling gold for money. Yolo, what do you think about all of this?
Oh, I actually plan to buy some time and put it on and sell time on the auction house. I can't wait when it gets released. I can use some gold because honestly, I haven't really made much in the game so far.
Now, the biggest issue with this, and you know, this runs back and forth. I've been listening to a lot more World of Warcraft podcasts and stuff since I've been back, and this is an issue that's discussed amongst the community. Is this, it does cut back on gold sellers. Gold sellers won't necessarily be able to make as much profit as they used to sell gold, because now you kind of take it in your own hands. Like, if you say you had an extra $90 a month and you want to buy, like, 4 subscriptions, and you threw it up there, and we don't know what the going price is going to be. It was really, really low for WildStar when it first came out. You might sell it for 100,000 gold. You know? It right. could go as little as 20,000 gold. Which, you know, as you know, with raising money in this game, sometimes it's really easy and sometimes it's really hard. That has to do with time, too.
Okay, the economist in me is starting to go crazy. So, The biggest problem that you find in World of Warcraft with trying to raise gold, particularly through the auction house, is that most people do not understand economics. There is a set market price that the market will bear. And if you set your product out there at that market price, you're going to make the most money you possibly can. However, if the people who've established a market and put their products out there at a certain price, you see them and you go in thinking, well, I want to sell this really fast, so I'm going to sell it for half the gold. You start to alter the market price that's going to be acceptable by players. So you start to bring it down. And this is going to be the problem that I see happening with this whole time conversion for gold thing. I do think you're right. It will kind of affect the gold sellers. Because people will, this is one legal in Blizzard's eyes. There's no issue with it. You don't have to risk an account ban. So it's definitely a better way to get gold if you need it. But I think that you're going to run into a lot of issues of people undercutting each other on the auction house, and the market's never really going to develop a healthy, stable price for time. So you could end up one month with buying an extra subscription and spending $14 real world cash, and you can put it on the auction house and maybe you're going to get 20,000 gold for it. But the next month, maybe you're not going to be able to sell it, and now you're out $14 and you're holding on to this time that you can't get rid of because the market is now for 5,000 gold.
Well, I would hope that 5,000 gold would never... I would hope that 20 seemed a little low for me, because a lot of people are going to use this as a quick way to get geared up. You can buy a complete set of your gear right now, a complete 640 set of purples on the auction house, and it will run you about 75k if you bought like the entire outfit right now. And I have a feeling a lot of people are going to use this to do that, because crafting was so hard to do. For like, it takes me a good couple weeks to make one piece of clothes, which is why it's also so high. But I also figure if the price is really high for subs, and people are, say it's like, you know, 50 to 70,000 for that $14, when, you know, gold sellers, they see, the other problem I see with this is the fact that right now there is a given price for gold that you can buy through gold sellers. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you hope you don't get caught or whatnot, but for those that don't get caught, there's a given price. And if the gold sellers can still do it less than what you can buy for $14.99 worth of gold, you know, that's, they're still going to be there.
Right.
So you got to compete with gold sellers, which will throw the whole market as well.
I think Blizzard's hoping that by selling time, it will undercut the gold sellers so much there won't be enough profit for gold sellers to really make any money, and they'll just kind of give up on this as an enterprise in general. I mean, that's ultimately their goal. They'd like to see the gold sellers just not be able to make any money at this and give up. And that would definitely make Blizzard's life easier, because account security wouldn't be such an issue.
I kind of feel that the gold sellers might be the people that's going to buy the time and then try to sell it for real money if it's possible, for like, say, an account that's like $14.99 a month. They'll try to sell it for like, say, $9.99, $8. I have a feeling that they might possibly try to do that if they can.
Well, you can do that just with the gold. It doesn't have to re-equate to time. Now, I kind of understand where you're going with that statement, but I think that if a gold seller buys it for $14.99 and they want to sell a person a subscription for less, they can always use the gold by lowering the price of the gold to where it is at, where it would be roughly $8 in real-life cash. So I don't know if this is going to be a good thing or a bad thing, but all I know is from what I know, it's supposed to come out in the very next major patch. Is that what you're still hearing, Yolo? That's supposed to be the next patch, like 6.1 or something?
Yeah, I'm hearing that, but who knows? You also heard about like the veteran thing that's going around, right?
Yep, I've heard about the veteran thing. Would you like to enlighten our listeners who might not have heard about the veteran thing?
To be honest with you, I'm hearing so many different stories about people in the military and people that been playing WoW and for over 10 years. I'm basically lost at what is the veteran subscription.
No, it has nothing to do with the military. It is actually people who've been playing. It's a veteran reward. And from what I've been reading is it's an actual physical item that if you've been playing WoW for the entire time that it's been around, they send you an actual item from Blizzard. I heard it was a statue. And they basically, they have your address on file and they send it to your physical address. And they already, I think, I can't remember who it was a statue of, but it's an actual physical thing that they did for their, you know, for their players who've been around. But the controversy is I started a month after launch and they're making it seem like it's almost day one, people. If you're still from day one, you get this present. You get this gift. It's not a cheap little gift. Probably a good $200-$300 item. And you get it, you know, here. But I don't necessarily know what that number count would be from day one that's still playing. That, and then what happens if they played day one but they missed a month of payment? Did that break their sub? You know, so it's a big thing. I know as the items start getting out there and more gets discussed about this veteran system, I think we'll be able to discuss it a little bit more. Maybe I'll look into it this week and just we'll give it a little quick report next week on this. But no, it's not, as far as I know, it has nothing to do with like military veterans. It's like veterans who've been playing this game since pretty much day one and are still playing it 10 years later, because that's a lot. If you add a $14.99 times 12 times 10, that's a lot of money that you've invested in this game over the long haul. Any thoughts on this, what you're now hearing about this veteran system, dear?
Yeah, actually, I think this is a great way for Blizzard to reward people for their true loyalty. Not all of us have been with them since day one, and yes, some people are going to have their feelings hurt because they didn't join up in the beginning. Maybe they didn't know about it as early as some other people. But I don't think there's anything wrong with a company going back to their most loyal customers and saying thank you for your business. Like you just said, that's an awful lot of money that these people have paid in, and they've been through the ringer. You know, there have been a lot of ups and downs with Blizzard over the years. I'm still a huge fan. I think Blizzard's a great company, but the gameplay has gone stagnant from time to time while they were working out kinks or figuring things out. And those people who stuck with them through it all, they deserve something that says thank you.
Okay, your thoughts again now that I kind of like squared it up for you, YOLO, on the veterans?
Well, I just know one thing. I'm definitely not getting nothing from it.
Well, maybe they'll give you something every 10 years you stay subbed. So in 10 years or so, just keep adding it up and maybe you'll get something down the line. So anyways, to pull it back, because I know we're running out of time here, to free-to-play future or fiction, do we think that from what we know that free-to-play seems like it's an option that we will finally get to go to, especially in WoW? You know, it's very much there. A lot of times they've been saying for years, you know, WoW's going to be around forever. There's still more expansions they have written. And they also know that a lot of people will still pay for it. Obviously, if they have people paying for 10 years, they have a pretty good, you know, look into their books as to who's been paying what and for how long and see how much money they make. So, I don't know. I think that it's still an option for most games to go free-to-play because we do have ebbs and flows in MMOs. Some years they're really hot. Some years they're really cold. You know, some years the PlayStations and the Xbox are on top, and some years the PC's on top. So I would like to think that everything would eventually go free-to-play, but that's just because I'd like to save some money in my own personal life. Mm-hmm. So I would like to say that it's a future, not fiction. So now that I got my finger on the button, what do you think, Ao?
All right, so I'm actually going to give YOLO a chance to answer this first because, of course, I have a diatribe as a business major and an economist. I have an awful lot to say on this topic, but let's see what YOLO thinks first.
All right, YOLO, your turn.
Well, I honestly, I don't want to see everything go free to play because the quality and the like the video game goes downhill in free to play games, with the exception of League of Legends, which is a free to play game, and To me, it's an excellent game, even though the community sucks, but it's a very good game for being a free to play. When I played Star Wars free to play, I did not like being restricted from doing like their battlegrounds. I was restricted, I think, to like 3 or 4 battlegrounds a week, something like that. Something to me ridiculously small. And when I was so frustrated that I actually resubbed to Star Wars for a couple of months just to do the extra stuff in their dungeons as well, because you get limited to like doing, I believe, like 3 or 2 dungeons. I'm probably off, but I resubbed for a few months just to do stuff because I felt too limited on what I was getting for being a free-to-play player.
Well, I understand, and before the missus gives her diatribe, I also understand that when we're talking free to play, remember there's other ways to make money in the game. With your Star Wars scenario, I did understand that you could buy just battlegrounds like as a separate piecemeal, and you could buy just dungeons as a separate piecemeal. So you could pay like $5 per month just for those and not pay the whole sub. So you'd get your free, and then you could pay $5 instead of $15 if you really like dungeons or if you really liked battlegrounds. So I think that in looking at how companies make their money in a free-to-play world, there are different ways that they can do it, whether they're good or not. That's another thing. So, Miss Ayo, here you go.
Thanks. So, first of all, I just want to say that, businesses are out to make money. That is their goal. And how you make your money is going to change the focus of how your business operates. So, if you have developed a video game for a subscription fee, then your customers are paying every month in order to have quality content and no restrictions to the content. You can still have additional items that you can offer to sell them. For instance, every now and then you will see Blizzard develop a particular pet or amount, and oftentimes they use this as a way to raise money for charitable causes that they're interested in helping out. So you can still have external objects that you use to raise additional funds, but when you have people paying for a monthly subscription, your team's focus is going to be on the content that you're playing. So I agree 100% with Yolo's point that when you go free to play, the quality of the gameplay immediately goes down because the company is no longer focused on maintaining that same level of quality or looking for the next big breakthrough that's going to really entertain their customers. And they start focusing on what are the add-ons that we can, sell to people. If we give them this stuff for free, what can we sell to them? Because that becomes the focus. You have to make money. So they work harder on selling you things and not so hard on making sure that their game is top-notch.
Well, I.
League of Legends, I think, is an exception to this rule simply because the game style, MOBAs, are really attractive to people and they developed a really solid framework. Then they skin it up. So that's what they sell to you is your skins. You choose your hero that you like to play. You can add heroes. They've got new ones coming out all the time. Pretty much there's a formula for how that hero is going to function in the gameplay, but the gameplay itself doesn't really change. They established that first and they did a very good job, and they're able to continue making money because they do keep coming out with new things that are fresh and exciting, and people really love it. But I think that when you go free to play, you run that risk of losing the quality of the gameplay, and you run the risk of your team becoming focused on the sales aspect because now you have to make money through sales and not through the gameplay.
Well, I think we're definitely apples and oranges versus apples and apples when we talk about League of Legends. How much upkeep do you think that League of Legends actually has? It's 3 maps, and all they have to make every once in a while is a new hero and some new skins. It doesn't take much upkeep. Then they do charge exorbitant amount of fees for those new skins. So they definitely, when people like that stuff and they like their new characters and they want their characters to look different than everyone else's character, they're willing to pay that money. And when we're talking free to play with most scenarios is there is a sub option. And if you choose to sub, you get all the bells and whistles that you can. And if you choose not to sub, you got to know that you're going to take a little bit of a hit when you choose not to sub. But that's great. For those who say you have those times during the year when you don't quite have the money you had, or say the game is stagnant and you want to play something else, that gives them the option just to switch it over to free to play. You're playing something else, or you're not playing at all because you don't have the time, and you don't have to worry that your character is going to get lost or disappear or anything else.
I know, but I still feel like if you have a subscription to a game and you decide to quit playing, and that actually happened to us, you know, we got to, through Wrath of the Lich King and, with World of Warcraft, and we were burnt. We needed a break. We needed to walk away from WoW for a while. Not because we weren't excited about Pandaria. We were, but we had just gotten so involved and needed to do something else. So we left. Now, we didn't pay subscription fees to Blizzard. We didn't pay the maintenance fees to hold our characters. We didn't do any of that. But yet, when we decided that we wanted to come back for Draenor, everything was there just the way we'd left it.
But that's because Blizzard keeps their servers going for a long, long time.
Because they have the funds, they have the resources to do that, because they are a subscription game, not a free-to-play. Free-to-play companies constantly run into problems. They cannot upgrade their servers when they need to. They cannot add the technology that they need to. And because they don't have a steady stream of revenue coming in. Now, don't get me wrong, it's really difficult to develop a game and maintain that subscription force, you know, to have all of your people constantly paying you every month. And you're right, for a lot of families, it's difficult to want to play something else and you have to let something go. We're not all wealthy people. But when it comes down to the business end of a game company, subscription, I think, is going to be here for a while, and I think it's what customers really want in the long end. They want really good quality content, and they're willing to pay for it.
All right, so you think it's...
I think that free-to-play is fiction. I think in some cases, you're going to see it. You know, puzzle games, you're always going to have your latest Candy Crush games come out, and they will always have that free-to-play style about them where they're willing to sell you additional stuff if you have to just beat that game. But I think when it comes to MMOs and this style of gameplay, free-to-play is fiction. I think subscription's where it's at and where it should be.
All right, so I'm future, you're fiction. Final thoughts, Yellow?
Fiction.
Wow, I'm going to sit you both down and say, why don't you play some Perfect World Entertainment games for a while, who've been nothing but free-to-play for like 7 years.
I have.
Still working just fine.
I have played Perfect World games, and I'm running to subscriptions.
Whatever. All right, we are bringing this to a close. We've been here long enough.
Don't be mad, Faye. We love you.
So we will actually let Ayana say goodbye. She yelled at me because she didn't feel like she got to say goodbye last time. So we'll let her lead off with her goodbye.
Thanks, guys, for listening. It's great to have this conversation every week with you, and I hope you come back next week. This is Ayo. Bye.
All right, YOLO, your turn.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Pulse, and take care, and see you next week.
And this has been Faye, the future of free-to-play, signing off. Until next time. Oh, wait. Before I go, Mr. YOLO, where can people find any new videos, even though they're far and in between of us playing anything? Are they still up on our Datacrony site, or where are they now?
They're still on the Datacrony site. You can see our videos, and there's also one video I put up there of me talking that people don't seem to like, but I think people will get a kick out of it.
All right, sound good. And that's, of course, at our Data Cronies. If you type it in YouTube, you'll see some of those off videos. And before I die, I'm signing off. Later, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Say bye, YOLO.
Take care, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.